Really feel yourself here. Notice your feet on the ground. Notice the feeling of the cloth of your clothing against your skin. And breathe. Very sweet. Mike, thank you. Angela, thanks so much. Connie leaves big shoes to fill. It's not easy to do that job. We have another week next week. Connie will still be gone. She'll be back the first part of June, and I'm sure she'll have lots of adventures to tell us about from her trip to Europe. In the meantime, I'm very grateful for our music team and our guests and all the extra work that gets done to keep us moving, and very grateful for you too, because it shifts things for us, doesn't it? Things sound a little bit faster, a little bit slower, a little bit different. There are extra notes we haven't heard before. And I invite you to stay in the presence of that, to let that, rather than distract you, to let that really bring your attention here. Because we can become kind of complacent in our practice. We can become unnoticing of the gifts of music and the personalities and the things that help to bring us comfort and ease and grace when we practice together, when we join together. So I love talking about the hero story. And last week, when we started this, I asked how many of you knew what the hero story was. And a couple of you said yes, and a lot of you didn't. And by the time we got done, we had a better idea that we probably have had exposure to the hero story and just didn't call it that. So just in case we have extra folks, new folks, people who weren't able to make it last week but came back this week, I want to show you just a quick little video. It's just 3 minutes to recap what the hero's journey actually is.
What do Harry Potter, Katniss Everdeen, and Frodo all have in common with the heroes of ancient myths? What if I told you they are all variants of the same hero? Do you believe that? Joseph Campbell did. He studied myths from all over the world and published a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces, retelling dozens of stories and explaining how each represents the monomyth or hero's journey. So, what is the hero's journey? Think of it as a cycle. The journey begins and ends in the hero's ordinary world. But the quest passes through an unfamiliar, special world. Along the way, there are some key events. Think about your favorite book or movie. Does it follow this pattern? Status quo, that's where we start. 1 o'clock, call to adventure. The hero receives a mysterious message, an invitation, a challenge. 2 o'clock, assistance. The hero needs some help, probably from someone older, wiser. 3 o'clock, departure. The hero crosses the threshold from his normal, safe home and enters the special world and adventure. We're not in Kansas anymore. 4 o'clock, trials. Being a hero is hard work. Our hero solves a riddle, slays a monster, escapes from a trap. 5 o'clock, approach. It's time to face the biggest ordeal, the hero's worst fear. 6 o'clock, crisis. This is the hero's darkest hour. He faces death and possibly even dies, only to be reborn. 7 o'clock, treasure. As a result, the hero claims some treasure, special recognition, or power. 8 o'clock, result. This can vary between stories. Do the monsters bow down before the hero, or do they chase him as he flees from the special world? 9 o'clock, return. After all that adventure, the hero returns to his ordinary world. 10 o'clock, new life. This quest has changed the hero. He has outgrown his old life. 11 o'clock, resolution. All the tangled plot lines get straightened out. 12 o'clock, status quo, but upgraded to a new level. Nothing is quite the same once you're a hero. Many popular books and movies follow this ancient formula pretty closely. But let's see how well The Hunger Games fits the hero's journey template. When does Katniss Everdeen hear a call to adventure that gets the story moving? When her sister's name is called from the lottery? How about assistance? Is anyone going to help her on her adventure? Haymitch. What about Departure? Does she leave her ordinary world? She gets on a train to the capital. Okay, so you get the idea. What do you have in common with Harry Potter, Katniss Everdeen, and Frodo?
So what you have in common is that you're starting in an ordinary life. If you think about this cycle, it's likely you've been through it several times, right? We do this over and over. Every time we cross a threshold into something new, something where we don't know what's coming up next. So last week we talked about being a hero, that a hero is simply someone who is willing to admit there's something extraordinary about them. Because until you do that, you can't receive the calling. You'll believe the calling is for somebody else. Why would I get called to do this? Well, obviously, because you're the hero. You are the hero in your own story, and you are the only person who can do what you came here to do. So when the calling comes, oftentimes we step out of it, and we decide, maybe that calling is for someone else. They think, I'll try and walk away. I don't really want to take that calling. And generally, we're pulled back in, oftentimes by someone wiser than us. Now, most of our stories show that wiser person as someone who's older than us, but it doesn't have to be. How many of you follow the rule of three? If something happens three times in your life, you know you have to pay attention, right? So these things happen. Sometimes those messages come from all around us. We're being called. Something is pulling us in a different direction. Whether we call it the rule of three or we're just paying attention, something calls us, and someone whose opinion we trust mentors us. And we touched last week a little bit on mentoring, that a mentor is different than a role model. And this is important to your hero's journey. A role model is someone you want to be like. And that can be really valuable in your job. It can be really valuable in your life. But a mentor is different. A mentor does not need you to be who they are. A mentor is not here to teach you how to be who they are. A mentor is here to teach you how to find who you really are. Because the special gifts that you have are what are needed for your journey. And as a result, when you cross the threshold, when you're ready to step into your new and unordinary world, and you take that step across, you're not following a path. There isn't a path because no one has done your life before. Only you have. This is only for you. So you are walking into uncharted territory when you take your path forward. And it's an uncharted territory, not to say that anybody else hasn't been through the dark and spooky forest ahead of you, but they haven't come with the tools that you have, and they haven't come on the mission that is yours. So your way of going through this will be different. For example, our son, Mark and I have a son who's going to head off to college. It's not that no one around him has ever been to college, but he's going to do something different, isn't he? He's going to step into a dark and scary world. Do you remember getting out of high school? Do you remember whatever you did after high school, you left the security of an ordinary world, didn't you? And you stepped across a threshold into a time that you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know how you were going to make it, how you would survive, what kinds of trials and tribulations were ahead of you, but you knew there would be trials and tribulations. You knew your car would break down sometime, if you had a car at all. You knew you were going to have to figure out how to pay bills. There were lots of things that felt big and scary in your life, but you got through them. You got all the way through them. Until something bigger than that happened. So crossing the threshold, one can anticipate that there will be trials and tribulations. There will be things that are new and different. If you buy a new house, You move across the threshold into your new home. There are trials and tribulations, aren't there? Debbie and Scott just bought a new house. There are so many times in our lives, a new job, a new relationship, a move to a different place, new neighbors. There are lots of things. This pattern plays out. The reason all of these characters all relate to the same pattern is because it's our pattern. It's the pattern of our life. And I'm going to tell you in a little while why that is really important to recognize. Because right now, we're coping with that pattern. There's a lot of trial and tribulation in our life, isn't there? And each of us, as we move through trial and tribulation, each of us comes to a point of ordeal. Some call it going to the inmost cave, that we have to move through a certain set of trials and tribulations, and just about the time that we kind of feel like we've picked up some new skills and we have our feet under us, something bigger comes up, something we haven't done before. Maybe it's the loss of a parent. Maybe it's your house burning down. Maybe it's a political change. It can be any number of things. But it's bigger than what you've dealt with before. And it feels like you have to stop and back up and ask yourself, do I have the skill and the courage and the tenacity to take this big thing on? Can I really do this? Is it possible for me to make a change? Can I learn to live without this person I love so much, for example? How am I going to do this? It feels big and monstrous. So how do you fight a monster? Do you remember the story of Hercules? Not the Greek myth, but the Walt Disney version. Do you remember the big ordeal for Hercules was the Hydra? Do you know what a Hydra is? So Hydra is that creature that starts out with three heads, and every time you chop a head off, three more grow in its place. So it goes from three to nine, and more. Every time you take one head off, three grow in its place. So it becomes a very big monster very fast. Have any of you had anything in your life that feels like that? Just when you think you have a grasp on it and you've slain it, it comes back in full force. Something more happens, right? So how do you fight a Hydra? What do you do? Well, in the story of Hercules that is the Walt Disney version, Hercules gets swallowed by the Hydra and he uses his sword from the inside out and cuts his way out. And then he hits a boulder and causes a landslide. And he and the Hydra are covered in rocks. And all you see left is the claw of the Hydra, which then starts to move. And everybody thinks, oh my God, Hercules is dead and the Hydra is coming back. And as it turns out, that's not the case at all. Hercules is underneath and crawls out, and then the Hydra falls to its side. But in Greek mythology, how you fight a Hydra is a little bit more enlightening. It's a little bit more enlightening. When the center head of the Hydra is immortal, it's the problem you cannot get rid of. It keeps coming back and it keeps coming back, bigger and bigger and bigger. And in the Greek mythology, how you take down a Hydra is you cut off its middle head and you use a burning torch to cauterize that wound, and then nothing can grow there. So how does that play out in real life? Well, the answer to the problem you can never seem to get over, can never seem to get past, is to look, to open your eyes, to ask yourself real questions, to learn from that process, right? How we get through a problem is we learn from it. We ask ourselves, what is ahead of me? What am I trying to learn that I keep reliving this same lesson over and over and over? What am I missing about this lesson that once I learned it, I wouldn't have to do this lesson again and again and again? Have you seen that pattern play out in your life? Once you understand, once you step back with your torch and you stop the bleeding and you quit trying to fight and you ask yourself, how do I stand in this wisely? What do I know and what am I learning and how can I grow? This is powerful and important stuff, guys, because we have hydras all around us. We have many big things happening in our world. We can look, you can put it in any context you want. You can look in the area of our climate. No matter how you feel about it, there's a lot happening. You can look in the area of our earth care, our sustainability. Massive hydra sitting right there. What do we do? You can look in the political field. Massive. You can look in our relationship field. How do we interact with one another? How do we use all this wonderful technology that we have that allows us to reach all the way around the planet without just using it to whip up a bigger, badder monster? What do we need to do with the monstrosity of life that is confronting us? We can't just cut off its head over and over because we're cutting off each other's head. And then we come back bigger and badder and meaner. We are becoming each other's monster. And I don't think there's a person in the room who wants to be that. None of us want to fight the hydra. And none of us want to be the hydra. So we have to use some flame. We have to use some light. We have to step back from all of this and ask ourselves, what are we trying to learn? And how hard does it have to get before we look at it differently? So there are a lot of things happening in our world right now that I want you to think about. I want you to understand the physiology that you're born into, this embodied form that you have, that the more afraid you get, the more anxiety you feel, the less clearly you think, the less you are able to look at a problem and move through it, pulling forward all of the skills that you have. And you have massive skills. So in order to get through life, the life we're leading right now, and have any hope of conquering the issues ahead of us, we have to breathe and we have to use what we know. So we know some things, don't we? We know that we are one with divine mind, that we have interaction with the divine mind and the ability to pull forth wisdom we didn't even know we had. We know that. We know that there is nothing bigger than that. Nothing. We have practices. We have the practice of meditation, which does not have to be any more than you did in the 3 or 4 or 5 minutes that we spent here today. To center yourself, to be still, to breathe, to remember that there is divine presence moving through you and as you, and to come back into this form. Because when we're in our head fighting each other, we are all up here. We have no access. Our access to our skill, our power, our ability lies in the body. So we have to come back down into this, breathe, and ask ourselves, what are we trying to learn? What is the skill to be developed? What do we have that we can actually contribute? Can you fight all 12 heads at once? No. Or 24 or 36 or however many. I guess it's multiples of 9 and not 6. But however many heads your hydra has, figure out what the center one is for you. Because the big problem you are facing is going to be different than somebody else's. What you are here learning, what life is giving you the opportunity to understand, is individual. And you can take on the world, but you can only do one piece of it really well. You want to feel like you're accomplishing something, because what happens is that monster swallows you up and you feel dead. You feel like you cannot fix this. It's over. Something bigger than you swallowed you up, and you, for a moment, no longer exist in this picture. You can't do it. That's your dead moment. I can't do this. I can't fix this. This is so big. I don't even know what to do. You just died. You can't stay there. Even if you wanted to, you can't stay there. So you pull yourself back up. Something pulls you back up. Something re-inspires you. And you pull yourself back up into your own form, and you stand back up different. You have something that makes you walk forward. You don't know where it came from. You don't know how it got there. But you took a deep breath and you were able. And that's the magic. That's the miracle. That's the beauty of being alive. It's the beauty of our survival nature. Our survival nature says, you are not going to take me out. I'm going to fight with every remaining breath in my body. And when I look like I'm down, I'm coming back. I'm coming back, and I'm going to do this better. And you are going to do this better. Every time you think the monster is too big, and you take a breath, and you come at it in a new way. And you will slay the monster. Whatever that monster is for you, we will slay it together. So when Hercules took out the Hydra, it took all of his strength with the sword to cut off the head. He could not bear the torch. He called his nephew, who did the cauterizing. He could not do it alone. Important for us to think about that on our own hero's journey. As we move forward looking at the various monsters that are in the world, we have to find ways to work together. We have to call on each other's skills. Most of these problems will require all of us. But if we come at them from our place of death, nothing will change. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember that there is no problem bigger than us. There is nothing we don't have the skill to overcome. And that when we work together, we can make the world a different place. And each of us has something to do in that process. The fact that we breathe tells us we are the living, moving energy of God. The fact that we breathe tells us we have what we need to do this work. So if you're walking through your life feeling afraid, feeling like the world is too big, we will eventually come to a place where we will overcome this. We will resurrect from this. And when we do, we'll move back into a sense that life has returned to normalcy. But it won't be normal, will it? It will be different, because we will be different. So if you are walking through life afraid that the world is coming to an end and we're going to blow it all up for ourselves and our kids and our grandkids, take a deep breath. Put your feet back under you. This is our journey. We're making it together. You have allies. You are not alone. You don't have to take it all on. Just choose your head. Choose which one is yours. Breathe into it and look for what it is you're trying to learn. And we will move through this. We will get there. One step at a time. I have some quotes for you. Joseph Campbell said, "A hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than themselves." E.E. Cummings said this, and you've heard this before, "It takes courage to grow up and become who you really are." Kristen Hanna said, finding your passion isn't just about careers and money. It's about finding your authentic self, the one you've buried beneath other people's needs. And finally, T.S. Eliot said this, we shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time.
Let's sing Amyo.